Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the life of David. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we left off, I think we looked at the previous first six verses of the chapter in the previous episode. And we saw that Absalom had been received back by his father, by King David. He had come and bowed before David and honored David. But then, I mean, it looks like immediately he started some chicanery here, which evolves into full-blown conspiracy and treason within this chapter right here. He's turned against David and he's trying to usurp the throne, is what it boils down to. And so we saw how he came along and stole the hearts away of the men of Israel. And he was saying things like that. He would get up early in the morning, and when he would intercept people that were coming to the king for judgment, people that had a suit, like a lawsuit. They had a question. They had a problem with somebody. And they were going to the king to get satisfaction, to get a solution from this. Well, Absalom would intercept them before they'd get into the gate and start talking to him. And so, yeah, man, you've got a good claim right here. You know, if I was king, I'd take care of this. You know, if somebody would appoint me judge over this land, I'd expedite this right now. It actually gives us some insight into the administration of King David, that there were some weaknesses. Okay, they're humans. There's some problems right here that people were not getting solutions as quickly as they wanted, that they weren't satisfied. And so Absalom was seizing that and taking advantage of that. Immediately, we all go, well, nothing's changed with that, right? Yeah. Really, regardless of where you live or what type of governmental entity you live under, these type of things occur. So Absalom was taking advantage of this. And boy, the people were just coming to him. And the scripture literally says that he stole away the hearts of the people. He turned the hearts of the people toward him. Now, verse 7, we pick it up and it says this. Now, it came about at the end of 40 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. For your servant vowed a vow while I was living at Geshur in Aram, saying, if the Lord shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. So what's going on here? Well, Absalom is taking the next step, doing the next thing. Step by step, he's laying the groundwork to where he can become king. Now, at the beginning of this, in verse 7, it says, now, it came about at the end of 40 years. And this is one of those kind of things that a lot of times we just read and we just read over and keep going. Well, that's fine. In our times together right here, we usually deal with these real quickly just to see what it's about. And, you know, it'd be the easy thing here to just keep reading, not paying attention to it. But 40 years? It came about at the end of 40 years? What 40 years? 40 years? I mean, this is somewhat still what we would call at the beginning, I think, of David's administration. I don't really know what this is. I checked a couple of resources, and I'll tell you what I think the most likely thing is right here. But quite often, this really distracts people when you find out what the most likely thing is. If you're in academia, it doesn't distract them at all. But if you're not, then people get all bent out of shape. And so is one solution at the end of 40 years of David's life? Well, perhaps, you know, David's 40 years old, so that'd be, what, 10 years into when he became a king initially. This'd be like 3 years after you become king of all of it, you know, all of Israel. But that's not really the context of David. Or is it what we see in very, very early manuscripts? Some early manuscripts of the Hebrew say 4 years. That came about the end of 4 years that Absalom said to the king, not 40. I'm more inclined toward that, because what have we seen within the entire context of this little Absalom account right here? Yeah, Absalom kills his brother because of what he had done to his sister. And then Absalom is gone for 3 years, right? And Joab saw that David's heart really pined for Absalom. So they bring him back, but then he sits there and cools his heels for another, was it 2 years? I think it's what it was. 2 years, because the total was 5 years. So it was 2 years. So it was a period of 5 years since this happened. And it would make more sense for it to say, now it came about at the end of 4 years that another four-year period had passed, the absence in the process of turning the people's heart toward him and away from the king. And so, well, why would the current Hebrews say 40 like this? Well, it's a phrase that is used often in academia, and I'm not real comfortable with it, but I know what is meant by it. You'll hear this phrase all the time. It's a scribal, okay, a scribal mistake. In other words, when the scribes were copying the scripture over and over and over and over again, that sometimes they would make a mistake. Or sometimes if they would have a scribal insertion, a scribe would insert a word to clarify what is meant. Well, that's fine. That's okay. We do the same thing within English, okay? And so what you get into with that is you can explain away anything. And boy, academia does that. They'll come along and say, well, that's just what the scribes think. That's just a scribal insertion. So we really don't have to give much heed to that, okay? And so I think you have to be really, really careful with that. But we're aware of it. And so I think it probably means that there was a four-year period that had passed right here, and that would flow within what we've seen so far with an absence. If there is a reference to a 40-year period, then it would probably have to be within the life of David. Could it be that Absalom was 40 years old at that time? No. David would have been much older than what we see right here at this time. So anyway, look what he says. Absalom, at the end of this four-year period, comes to David and says, hey, please let me go, and I need to go pay a vow. I vowed a vow before God in Hebron. And he says, your servant, and he's talking about himself, vowed this vow while I was living there at Geshur, which means during that period when he was away from David, when he's sort of hiding from him in Aram. And he said this, this is what I said to the Lord. If the Lord shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. So, and we see this a lot in the Old Testament. We've seen it, you know, with patriarchs and things like this, that they say, hey, God, you know, they come before him and say, if you'll do this, then I will come back and pay a vow. And they're not trying to bribe him or anything in the sense that we know the words. It was just a point of humility and a point of saying, hey, I need you to do something. If you'll bring me back to Jerusalem. And in this case, Absalom said what? Then I will serve the Lord. So had he really done this? Had he really made a vow like this? Well, we're just going by his word right here that he said. When we see what he's about to do, okay, we'll see this in the next episode. It draws into question everything. You know, I've already alluded to it enough, and you probably know the account. He's trying to overthrow King David. So is overthrowing King David serving the Lord? Okay, is that serving the Lord? But he's telling David, he's telling his dad, hey, I said to the Lord, if you'll bring me back to Jerusalem, I will serve you. I would not be surprised if he actually did that. Okay, if he actually said that in that way. Now he's there, and he probably thinks that he's expediting the fulfillment of this vow by trying to overturn David. Because he could point to all sorts of things that David was not doing well. David was not doing well with his family. There were things within administration that he wasn't pleased with. David was distracted by wives and concubines. And you say, well, weren't they all? Well, Absalom right here, I wonder about, I mean, there's no mention of any of that yet with him. Though he had some kids, you know, and a wife. So anyway, I don't know. It looks like that he is plotting something here, and we'll find out that he actually is, okay? And he's using the, oh yeah, I made a vow. I made a vow. He very well may have. I want to go back there. That's great. Told God, I want to serve him, and I want to go and honor this vow that I did. Sounds like a great thing. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.